today on Real Radio.
Does your heart have an ear? Or have you built up a wall around your heart so great and so tremendous that nobody can get near it? That everything you hear, you've got to judge, criticize, and scrutinize until it's dead? Where's the wonder?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Hearts That See and Eyes That Hear, continues now in a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey begins in Jerusalem, but soon spreads to the Gentile world through the missionary work of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And like Paul, Barnabas was a Jew who converted to Christianity. Acts chapter 13 could also be known as the great missionary chapter of the Bible. In verses 1 through 3, we discover that it's God who calls us into the missions. Verses 4 through 12 shows us that it's God who directs us or sends us. And in verses 13 through 41, we learn that it's God who provides for us. Now, in the final verses of chapter 13 with verses 42 through 52, we see how it's God who confirms us. That means that we're not only forgiven, but we're justified through Christ as though we have never sinned. Today on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that God has the foreknowledge of who will accept the gospel. And having this knowledge, God calls those who receive him into glory by going to heaven. But those who reject the gospel have a heart that cannot see and eyes that cannot hear, and they will spend their eternity separated from God. And now, continuing his lesson called Hearts That See and Eyes That Hear, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We're using all of the power and the resources of the systems to get it to the other parts of the world where they haven't gotten the word. Think about it. We didn't need that broadcast. Now, we're going to watch it tonight and snoop in and find it and watch it and enjoy it, but we don't need it because the gospel's come here. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much will be required. That's pretty spooky. America has been given a lot of lights, and what are we doing with it? And so, in verses 48 to 52, we see the gospel of love that is received. And watch what happens to this. It says, now, verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. And they were glad, number one. They glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Well, wait a minute. As many as been appointed to eternal life believed. Yeah, don't get too shook up. Some of your Bibles have translated the word ordain. It means the same thing as verse 46. Check it out, everybody. Listen up. Verse 48 says the Gentiles were glad when they heard this. They glorified God. Who did? As many as those who were appointed to have everlasting life. Well, when did that happen? Who made the appointment? Well, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says God did. Everybody listen carefully. God has appointed some people to go to heaven? That's what the Bible says. Well, when? Well, Ephesians 1, 4 says before the world was ever laid, before the foundation was ever laid down on the earth, before the heavens were created, God knew who was going to go to heaven. Does that mean God knew who was not going to go to heaven? Yes. Does God send people to heaven? Kind of, sort of. Does God send people to hell? No. How can you be so sure? Because verse 46 says, they ordained themselves unworthy of everlasting life. You see that in your Bible? Mark it down. If you're having a struggle with some certain views, you need to circle verse 46 and verse 48. Verse 46 is man's responsibility when the gospel's presented. Choose it or lose it. The gospel's free. It's free to anybody who wants to have it. But if you reject it, oh, what a cost. In verse 46, they didn't have hearts that would listen. And they didn't have ears that would hear. Jesus said, does your heart have an ear? Or have you built up a wall around your heart so great and so tremendous that nobody can get near it? that everything you hear, you've got to judge, criticize, and scrutinize until it's dead? Where's the wonder? Christianity sounds like a fairy tale. That's why I've got my PhD. Wait a minute. PhD? You cannot resist Christianity and think that you're doing so on intellectual terms. That's ridiculous. Well, I'm not a believer because I'm too smart. No, that's not true. If you were a believer, or if you were smart, you'd be a believer. Well, hey, I find that offensive. I don't mean to offend you. I just want you to think. I'm trying to provoke you to think. Because PhD could mean piled higher and deeper. You can, and I'm not disparaging education. I think we should study all the way. We should be masters of everything. God's given you a brain to use. The greatest thinkers of the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries have been Christians. Kepler, Newton. You can go on and on. Brilliant people. Born-again Christians loved God, and it was their love for God and their love for science that led them to understand both. So don't think you're too smart to become a Christian. That's impossible. We read this morning in a scripture reading, Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. You look up in the microscope, and you look up there, and you go, God. In fact, even an evolutionist looks up there and goes, oh, my God. It's beautiful. Hey, I mean, God, you got to see this. Come here, you guys. And they're talking about God. And what's his name? Who's the guy? The Jewish guy. We need to pray for his salvation. Who's the astronomer? Sagan. Carl Sagan. He's Jewish. Pray for him. He looks out on his program. You can rent it. He looks out into the universe and he says, we are looking into the Holy of Holies. He's an evolutionist talking like that. He's got it wrong. He says, in the beginning, he said, Carl Sagan, was the Big Bang. No, Carl, baby, you got it wrong, honey. It's not the Big Bang. In the beginning was the Big God. He's got his word mixed up. The heavens declare the glory of God. Study. Look at the world out there. Those of you who are here Wednesday night, remember we're talking about Stuart? Two of you. Stuart is the caterpillar that's in our house. We talked about him Wednesday night, so we know that most of you were not here. Stuart now, he's no longer walking around and eating. He's hanging from a stick. Wednesday he was walking around, now he's not. He's getting ready. Inside, the clock's gone off, the alarm's gone off. It's time to shed these 18 feet. I feel wings coming on. And he's going to fly away. How does he know that? I saw a program with the Alaskan golden plover bird. Beautiful little thing. His parents, during the summer, go to Alaska. Build a nest. Lay the egg. Egg hatches. Mom and dad look at the little baby bird and they say, we're out of here. And they go back to where they came from. You know where they came from? Hawaii. They leave Alaska in the summer, or in the fall, when it starts to turn cool, they leave and they head for Hawaii. Mom and dad do. They leave the kids at home. They go to Hawaii. They go back where they live, spend the winter in Hawaii. Not bad. About a month later, you know what happens? The little babies in the nest, they start going, man, this is getting like downright cold here. And they take off across the sea. You know where they go? They go to Hawaii. And you go, well, so what? They've never been to Hawaii. I've never been to Hawaii, so what am I crying? But here's a little bird born in Alaska. Feels winter coming on, flies to Hawaii. Mom and dad's already left. How does he know that? God's written it into his code. It's in his genes. Genetically, he knows, hey, man, this place is getting pretty nippy. Let's head to Hawaii here. The sea turtle comes out of the ocean, lays its eggs on the shore. and leaves. Little eggs hatch, little guys come out. They don't head for the barbecue rings, they head for the water. How do they know that? God wrote that into them. God did that. God has revealed everything for us. It's not the intellectual problem we're having. You can't come to Christ because it's not smart. You can't come to Christ because you won't let yourself believe it. It sounds like a fairy tale. I got to admit, it sounds like a fairy tale. That somebody would love you sounds like a fairy tale. And love me. But it's true. Jesus proved it the day he rose from the dead. The fact of the matter is this. God ordains those who are going to heaven by his foreknowledge. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Jot it down. Listen carefully. Romans 8, 29. You ought to turn there or jot this down and study it. For whom he foreknew. You know what foreknew means? It means, think about it this way. I'm going to bring it down to where I can understand it. God looks at all the history of the world through, so to speak, his TV. And he records a program. And he has already seen that program. He takes out the tape and he hands it to you and he says to you, you're ordained. I knew you before the foundations of the world were ever laid. And you go, well, how can that be? I've never been here before. I have a hard time understanding that. God says, just watch the video. So you watch the video and you see yourself coming to faith in Christ. God knew it all along. When he created everyone, he lives in the eternal now. He sees everyone, all eternity, all time in one moment. Is that heavy? God sees everything right now. He even sees the end of this service, though you may not think you do. He sees it all. And he says, as my gospel goes out, as like Paul the Apostle preached it, there will be some who receive it and some who don't. To those who I see receive the gospel, because of my foreknowledge, I already know that. So I'm going to predestine them. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Those he foreknew, he also predestined them. How could he do that? Because he knew. To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, those who he predestined, he also called them. Ooh, remember last week, people making decisions? You know what's so fun about all that? We just give the gospel. God works on them and they make a choice. It was all in the cards. God's cards. Those he called, whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, he's also glorified them. That's why you look at verse 48 of Acts 13. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many had been ordained to eternal life, those guys are the ones who believed. God is going to get all the credit for you being in heaven. Here's the catch 22. In verse 46, those who go to hell can't blame God. You want to know why? Because when God looked with his foreknowledge at all eternity, he said, well, there's Bill, and he's not receiving me. He's not receiving my grace, my overture, my message. He's rejecting it. And what's sad about all this is that he's rejecting ultimate love and grace and forgiveness and heaven itself, and he's despising my son, and there's no other way for him to be saved. And someday, and I know according to that program, Thursday night with Peter Jennings, this is not possible. This is not a good thing to say. But if you die rejecting Jesus, you'll be in hell. I find that highly offensive. Do you? Then why don't you change your mind, accept Christ, and go to heaven? Well, I'm not willing. Because your heart cannot see. Your heart cannot hear. So verse 46 declares that people who wind up alienated from God, it is because they chose that path and God knew it from the beginning. And verse 48, it says that there that those who receive his offer to heaven, he called them, justified them, glorified them. That is why, listen carefully and we'll wrap this up. We've said this before. It works for my little mind. Hopefully it works for your more advanced mind. If your child is there in front of you, or your spouse, and you have to ask them, can you please tell me you love me? 50% of the joy is already gone because you had to ask. Are you with me? Tell me you love me. No, you know what I'd rather have? I'd rather have me not ask. Just tell me out of your own free will that you love me, and it'll warm my heart. If you have that desire to hear someone say, I love you just because, and it just warms you, how much more God, who's created every human being with the sovereignty to choose, even though he himself is sovereign? So that you stand there and you have the option now to receive or to reject, and you say, I don't love you. Or someone in front of you, tell me you love me. I love you. Oh boy, that just makes me feel great. No, God wants love from a true heart that chooses to love him. That was great risk in his creation because he created us with the ability to choose. The gospel's free. The choice that you make, if you choose to reject him, is very expensive at your expense, and it's tragic. And it doesn't need to be so. Finally, this, verse 52. And when the disciples were filled with joy, and then the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Is there a period at the end of spirit in your Bible? I thought so. It is in mine. And I began to think about that in light of this week's television broadcast. I want to say something right now for those of you who are new to this church. I believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe in every one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that's revealed in the Bible. I believe in them all. I don't have them all. I don't even have a half earth, any of them hardly. And you're probably figuring that out right now. But I believe in all the gifts of the Bible revealed in Scripture. But I'll say this. I only believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit recorded in the Bible. You got that? I believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I only believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are recorded in the Bible. What are you saying, Jack? There's a period at the end of that verse. They were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. They were not filled with happiness. Do you understand that? Did you see the program? When one of the largest churches in America, they had all their guys together and they said, what do we want to do? And they said, we want to give people a happy, happy life. That's nice. But what about joy? You know what the word happiness means? It means happy. It's happenstance. If things are going good, you're happy. If things are going bad, you're unhappy. Forget happiness. You want to have real happiness? I had a lady tell me. She said, I know I'm a Christian, Jack. Don't tell me otherwise. I'm leaving my husband because I think I can be happier somewhere else, and don't tell me God doesn't want me happy. And I told her, God does not want you happy. Not at that expense. God wants you obedient to his command, and doing so, you'll have joy in your life. Who wants happiness when you can have joy? Joy is independent of happenstance. That's why we can do things at this church. We can issue a decree and say, you know what we're going to start doing? We're going to start training our ushers on how to catch people in the aisles. We're going to start barking. We're going to start laughing. We're going to start roaring. Listen, I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I only believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you want to bark at this church, chase a car. I'm serious. If you want to laugh, go run a Three Stooges video or run a clown. If you want to roar, go to the zoo. But don't tell me it's in the Bible. Don't tell me I'm not open. When this church is walking so graciously before God that a broken sinner, like a woman caught in the very act of adultery, comes into this place and somebody says, hey, Jack, She was caught in the very act of adultery. Moses says to stone her, what do you say? I warn you up front. We're going to go to the Bible and we're going to say that Jesus said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And when all the circumcisers run out of the place, then we'll look at her and say, woman, where are thine accusers? And she can say back, there are none, Calvary Chapel. And we will say together, neither do we condemn thee. Go and follow the Lord, as he said, and sin no more. I'll leave you with this. Did she sin again? She sinned again. She wasn't perfect. But she no longer practiced the life of sin because Jesus had set her free. Grace. The gospel according to grace. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you so much. I want to thank you for these people having the patience to sit 2 weeks back to back now and me blabbing 15 minutes over time. God, use this place. Use these people. Lord, fill them with your Holy Spirit. Touch them. Lord, in Jesus' name, that if there's anyone in this place who thinks they somehow have sinned so far beyond your ability to forgive, let them know otherwise. If there are believers in this church who have become bitter and angry and they think that they have pursued now the path of a Saul, Lord, may they stop now and have that bitterness taken out of their lives and be healed. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you would go before these people. And Lord, that you would glorify your awesome word in a day when your Bible is being mocked and people would rather spend more time playing games than praising your holy and awesome name and loving you. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Hearts That See and Eyes That Hear. Thanks for listening. And you know, if you choose to be legalistic, you will go on your way bitter and in bondage. But if you choose the way of the gospel, you'll find joy and freedom. Hearts That See and Eyes That Hear. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. There are so many advances in technology today that Christians can take advantage of, and Pastor Jack, well, he's no exception. That's why you can find him on YouTube, and Pastor Jack's YouTube channel has a lot to offer. Over 500 videos, in fact. And there's a wide range of subjects, including salvation, the Bible, prophecy, the end times, family, marriage, and so much more. The apostles of the early church knew that the key to real life is through the power of the Holy Spirit and through God's Word found in Scripture. So again, take advantage of all the resources that Pastor Jack has to offer, and soon you'll discover a deeper understanding of who God is and how Jesus Christ can change your life and your eternity. And of course, you can access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel simply by going to the App Store and search for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the app. Download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. You could also go to our website if you'd like, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And don't forget to subscribe to the Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel and push on notifications for his most recent videos. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so at Real Life with Jack Hibbs on the app, or just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.